Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
Today, we are looking at the topic, let us love one another.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us love one another. Speak to the brother, speak to the sister, and say, brother, let us love one another.
Let us love one another.
Look at them, don't be afraid of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You are afraid of loving other people. Amen.
Amen.
1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 13. I was looking for the husbands and the wives to see if they will say it. Amen.
Amen.
I think they're saying, hey, husband, wife, this year, 2023, at least. Let us love one another.
Amen.
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 Let us love one another. So, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 13 is our scripture today. We're going to read that, and then we share a few things, and then we're going to pray. And then we're going to pray. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 13. If you are there, I want you to follow me and say, I'm there.
I'm there.
You're there?
Yes.
Okay, let's read it together. One, two, three, go.
Beloved,
let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. Even as we talk about the year of evident progress, I think one of the things that God wants to see manifested in our midst is love for one another.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the main purposes of this earthly life is to prepare us for eternal life. And if the Bible is saying God is love, then it means where we are going, the only thing that is there is love.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And therefore, it will be very difficult for us to be in a place where everything is love, and we fail to love one another here. Amen.
Amen.
We must understand that there is life after this life. And it's not life in retirement, but there is life even after retirement. And the Bible tells us that that life is eternal life. Now, we know that God is eternal. And if God is love, then love is also eternal.
Amen.
Actually, the Bible says, even prophecies will fail. Mm. Gifts will fail. Mm. All these things that we get taken about, the Bible tells us that one day they will fail. But the Bible says, love is everything. For God is love.
Amen.
And I'm going to come back to this scripture
because that's where we'll take a bit of time today. But I want us to go back to our main scripture for 2023, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 12 to 16. Our main scripture is verse 15, but we'll start with verse 12. The Bible says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers." So there is a call upon us that Sister Asmenia has to be an example to all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we are believers. Sister Mimi has to be an example to all of us as what a believer looks like. Aunt Naomi has to be an example of how a believer looks like. Pastor Sunga, Pastor McDowell, all of us have to strive to be an example of how and what a believer looks like. And there are several things that Paul is calling us upon. He says, be an example to the believers in word. Be an example to the believers in conduct. Be an example to the believers in love. Be an example to the believers in spirit. Be an example to the believers in faith. And be an example to the believers in purity. And it says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Building on this, Paul is challenging Timothy. And he says, Timothy, be an example. Be an example to the believers. Be an example to them in word. In the way you speak, be an example. Be an example in your conduct. Be an example in love. Be an example in spirit. Be an example in faith. Be an example in purity. If there has to be somebody else that will encourage us and that all of us would desire to stand for the Lord, for the faith that they stand on, may you be the person that we can say, I wish I could have faith like Pastor Amos.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
May you encourage us that we would desire to live for God. That we can be able to say, if he can believe like this, I can also believe God like this.
Hallelujah.
If he can love God like this, I can also love God like this.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he tells him, meditate on these things. Mm. What you meditate on, you should meditate on. God, how can I today be an example to the believers?
Mm.
In my words, in my conduct, in my faith, in my love, in my purity, in my spirit. And the Bible says, give yourself entirely to this.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, as you do that, your progress will be evident to everybody.
Hallelujah.
Everybody will be able to see something is happening in their life.
Mm-hmm.
He says, as you continue in these things, you will not only save yourself,
mm-hmm.
but even those who hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And what Paul is challenging Timothy, I believe there are three things. He says, there has to be a willingness in your heart. And that willingness has to lead you to doing these things. And as you do these things, one thing is guaranteed. You become an evident progress to everyone else. Your evidence will become so real to everyone else. And that's why I said one of the purposes of this earthly life is to prepare us for eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The process of becoming like Christ begins with us having a willing and obedient spirit that is submissive to the will of God.
Amen.
You cannot follow the will of God. You cannot become an example to the believers in the six areas that Paul is challenging Timothy if you do not have a willing and obedient spirit that is submissive to the will of God. That willing, obedient, submissive spirit leads us to doing the will of God and not the will of the world. And that willingness, as it leads to doing, it leads to becoming. James says in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we hear all the word we can hear this year and not strive to become that word, James says, we are just deceiving ourselves. I pray this year that will not call you the deceiver. Because there is only one deceiver. And the deceiver is the devil himself. And the Bible says, you are of God. You are not of the devil. You are of God. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. So this year you should desire and say, I desire to do the word of God. I desire to hear the word and do it and become more and more like Christ. The scripture today says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Love has never been of the enemy. Love is of God. And in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, John writes, says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It means the kind of love in our midst this year should be like the way Christ loved us. If there's going to be a benchmark, if there's going to be a yardstick, if there's going to be a reference point, it should be that I love Lighton the way Jesus loves him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My love for Tawera should be the way Jesus loves her. My love for everybody in this place should be the way Jesus loves that person.
Amen.
For Jesus says, the way you will love one another, it will only be based on how I have loved you. If we fail to love one another the way Jesus has loved us, then we have failed. That should be our yardstick.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Says that you also love one another. And Jesus says, when you strive to love one another as I have loved you, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Amen.
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 With all the different temperaments we have, Jesus says, love one another. With all the different opinions we have, Jesus says, love one another.
Amen.
Even with all these things, I don't like this, I like that, the Bible says, you just love one another.
Amen.
Somehow the Bible is telling us, there is absolutely no one on earth who doesn't want to be loved. Even the other ones who say, me, I'm a loner, I don't care about people, they still won't love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then Jesus gives us a challenge. In John chapter 14, we'll still come back to this scripture. In John chapter 14, and this is what he says. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Verse 15. This is what Jesus says. It's a very nice scripture. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
And Jesus says, a new commandment I have given you. That you what? You love one another as I have loved you. So you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Then in verse 15 of chapter 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Keep my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. That means any time in our lives we disobey God, our love for God is not strong enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That one now is a quiet amen.
Amen.
Anytime we disobey God, it means our love for God is not strong enough.
Amen,
amen, church.
Amen.
What the Bible is telling us, love is an important aspect of the Christian life. It is a very important ingredient of a Christian life. It's more or less like love is the acid test of our walk with God. Because this world is full of unlovable people. But the Bible says the acid test that the world will be able to say these ones are the disciples of the Lord is when we have love for one another. The most important thing for you as a believer is the love of God that you carry in your heart. It's very difficult for you to give what you don't have. And the reason why we struggle to love one another is because possibly we have not fully understand the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the scripture we have read in 1 John chapter 4, as we go back to it now, this is what the Bible is saying. It says in verse 9, after it says in verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So when people ask you, who is God? You just say, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in verse 9, it says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What the Bible is making us understand is that the only thing that moved Jesus to come out of heaven and come on planet Earth, the only thing that moved him was love.
Amen.
The only thing that made him say, Father, I'm ready to go down there and be like one of them and die for them that they can come back to you. The Bible says the thing that made him to do that was love.
Amen.
Nothing else. Love. He looked at us and he decided, I'm going to go down. What does that tell us? That tells us that human life is more important than anything. Human life is more important than a car. Human life is more important than a house. Human life is more important than anything. And the Bible is telling us today, I am challenging you, KICC. Please understand that as I sit in the heavens, the way I value human beings is more important than the way you value anything.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there's a problem. Why would God be challenging us and say human life is more important than anything? It's because I want to submit to you. We live in a time where there is an obsession. There is an obsession of success. There is an obsession of prosperity. There is an obsession of breakthroughs. And sometimes at any cost, even if it means I will betray Brother Lighton as long as my breakthrough comes, as long as my success comes, as long as my prosperity comes. And sometimes in the body of Christ, we behave like Judas Iscariot. We want success at any cost. We want breakthrough at any cost. We want prosperity at any cost. Are these things bad? No, they're not bad. The brothers who were praying for this morning, we're praying for them, the sisters, we're praying for them that God should give them a breakthrough. We were praying for that. We were saying, Lord, we intercede on their behalf. Give them a breakthrough. Give them a breakthrough. When they have a breakthrough, they will have success. When they have success, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. In Job chapter 36, 11, he says, if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. So we understand, God has no problem with you becoming prosperous.
Amen. Amen.
He did it in the life of Isaac. Man, the Bible tells us in Genesis 24 that the man began to prosper.
Yes.
He continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. God has no problem with that. But if we want to become so prosperous, if we want to become so successful in life, if we want to become to have all these breakthroughs in life at any cost, including betrayal of one another, just for us to achieve our goals. The Bible is saying there is no love.
Amen.
Says there is no love. The Bible says we are of God. I want you to follow me and say, I am of God.
I am of God.
Louder. I am of God.
I am of God.
And in this year,
I will strive.
I'll do anything I can do. And everything I can do. That people can see the love of God through my life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are of God. And if we are of God, we must change our priorities. I believe the body of Christ needs to change its priorities. We have spoken about prosperity for a long time. We have spoken about success for a long time. We are talking about breakthroughs for a long time. They are good, but we are of God. Amen. And the Bible says, God is love. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In life, the amount of love you carry in your heart is very important. Because there are so many unlovable people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's more or less like every day our love is subjected to a kind of test. There are some people who say, according to Dylan Jindhawi, why am I wasting my time with this one? The advice you give them is good. The reason why you are giving them that advice is because you know it's good advice. You know if they do that, their life will go forward. There will be an evident progress in their life. You tell them one thing, they do another thing. You tell them go left, they go right. You tell them go right, they go left. You tell them go forward, they go backwards. You tell them go up, they go down. It's as if they have made a decision. I'll be the leader of opposition to anything. And the Bible says love them. The Bible says, love them. If you love them, then people will know you are my disciple.
Amen.
Because I loved you whilst you were still a sinner.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So we must change our priorities in the body of Christ.
Amen.
This year we are going, I'm going to talk so much about love until you become tired of hearing me talk about love. And when you become tired, and the day you will say, Pastor McDuff, it's enough, that's when I'll know you have heard.
Amen.
That's when I'm going. Now you have heard.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because I strongly believe this is one thing God is challenging us to ask AICC. Timothy is being taught by Paul. Because Timothy was a pastor in Ephesus. And he says, Timothy, look here. Let no one despise your youth.
Amen.
All you have to do is be an example.
Mm.
Be an example to the believers. In the way you speak. In your conduct. In your faith. In your love. In your spirit. In your purity. Just be an example. What Paul is telling Timothy is that the pastoral position he was holding was not a profession. It was a spiritual life that he needed to live out and carry out.
Amen.
And you, as a believer in Christ, when we say, Sister Naomi, Brother Sunga, and we say they are Christians, I want us to understand today that when we say we are Christians, it's not a profession.
Amen.
It's not a job. There's no job which is called Christian. It's not a profession. It is a spiritual life that has to be carried out. It is a spiritual life that has to be lived out. And that life has to be the life of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I'm saying the most important thing for you as a believer is the love of God that you carry in your heart. And then Jesus gave a warning. Jesus gives a warning in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, let's go there together. I don't know what has happened to my voice. It was okay. But hey, we are going to heaven, man. We are going to heaven. Even if we arrive singing, we are still going. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus says something. He says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The Bible, Jesus gives a warning. He says, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. And the reason why the love of many will grow cold is because of iniquity. And these days, to be honest, I look at the church. Love is being removed from the church and society at large at supersonic speed. The way the love for brothers is dying, it's shocking. The way the love of people who say we are believers. Actually, it shocks me that believers can get to a point of hating each other so much that if they were given a point to kill, they'll kill. And Jesus is challenging us. He says, KICC, I want you to do one thing this year. Love one another.
Amen.
Love one another the way I have loved you.
Amen.
And if you love one another the way I have loved you, all people will know that you are my disciples.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, because of iniquity, the love of many will grow cold.
Amen.
And it is a sign of the end times. When you read that Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, in my Bible it says, the signs of the times and the end of the age. The love of men will grow cold. Brother will betray brother. Sister will betray sister. Son will betray father. Daughter will betray mother. There's something going on right now. I will just say it and then you guess yourself. But there's something. I'm told there's a brother who is about to release a book. And the world has become so obsessed to read about the scandals happening in that house. And everybody else is ready to just look at that. And you're wondering, where has love gone? Where has love gone? The rate of divorce in the church is happening because of lack of love. I'm telling you, two people who love each other so much cannot divorce.
Amen.
Pastor Zumba, you love her so much that she even cries for the love. Why am I loved like this? What have I done in my life that I should be loved like this? I am the blessed one among women. And then she comes along and says, but I'm divorcing you. Do you think it can happen? No, aunt, no, I can't divorce him. The reason why there is divorce in the church is because there is no love. The reason why you think I'm leaving this house, if we ask you, is because you see that there is no love. And it's in the church between two believers. Oh. Between two believers. The reason why there is so much suspicion between husband and wife is because there's no love. The reason why people put passwords on their phone is because there's no love. The reason why you come back and make sure the phone is on top of the toll fridge in your house is because there's no love. The reason why you put that password, it's because there's no love. And you can't disclose a password. There's no love. The reason why there is so much mistrust between husband and wife is because there is no love. And all of a sudden, the rate of divorce in the church has reached what we can say all-time high. My prayer is that this year in KICC, will not hear a story that you have divorced your wife.
Amen.
Or you have divorced your husband.
Amen.
That no matter what it takes, you will try to do everything you can to make that marriage work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Love is eternal. Because God is eternal.
Amen.
And this love is what binds us to Christ. The reason why I say I am a Christian, I follow the Lord, is because His love attracted me. His love made me to be bound to Him, that I have nothing else and nowhere else to go apart from clinging to Him.
Amen.
Maybe the only ones that understand about this love a bit are children. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that a children, you can pinch him, you can pinch the ear, you can beat her. She will cry, but when she's crying, you go, because she knows. She knows the love. She knows, even though you have pinched me, even though you have whipped me, but there is something that binds me to you, and it's called love. And the Bible, when He instituted marriage, He said, you are going to translate this on earth by covenant as husband and wife that you can show to people that all that only binds us together is love. Now, if that which binds us together is broken, will society survive? If that which binds us together as a church is broken, will the church survive? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the issue is, if you can forgive your wife, if you can forgive your husband, whom you see every day, how can we expect you to forgive us when we have wronged you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you can stick with your husband, you can stick with your wife, who that relationship is by covenant. How are you going to stick with us, whom you have no covenant?
Amen.
The only relationship on earth that is established by covenant is marriage. I leave my father and I leave my mother and I come to you and I'll be joined to you and the two of us will be one flesh. I understood it this week. Why the Bible says the man. Actually, it's this week that I was, where has he been all this time? Let me try to explain it a little bit. So the Bible says the man. It doesn't say the wife. Have you noticed?
Yes.
The Bible says, no, it doesn't say the wife. No. It says the man. It says the man shall leave.
Yes.
Okay? Who is he going to leave? Father and mother. And what is he going to do? Be joined to his wife. And when he's joined to his wife, the two of them shall become one flesh. So who leaves? The man. Now let me try to explain it to you. What the Lord spoke to me. I believe it was the Lord now. This is what God spoke to me. He says, the reason why I say the man shall leave and be joined to his wife is because the only thing I have established on earth to represent the relationship I have with man. When I talk about the relationship I have with the church, I am the husband. The church is the wife.
Yes.
If, when you go into Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul has talked about everything else, later on he says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church.
Yes.
Okay? When God was complaining to the children of Israel, he says, you've been unfaithful to me. You've been unfaithful to me. You've been faithful unto me. And yet I am married to you. And yet I am married to you. So this is what the Lord spoke to me this week. He says, the reason why the man shall leave is because Jesus had to leave. He left heaven. And then he came all the way down to find the church, the wife. And the church he came for, God says, it was not a perfect church. It wasn't a perfect church. So all of us who are coming from there and say, now I'm married and my wife will be perfect, we are in big trouble because God does not expect her to be perfect. And he says now, the only thing that will make her perfect is that you need to wash her with water as the word, so that when you present her to me, she'll be presented to me as a bride without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
So it's because he left. It was not the church that left here and go to heaven and said, we have come.
Amen.
It was Christ who came. So the Bible then says, the man has to love the wife as Christ loves the church.
Yes.
But now the church, because it understood the love of God, they do submit.
Hallelujah.
All of us who struggle about our wives not submitting to us, we don't love them.
Yes.
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 Amen.
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 Hallelujah. So that's why he left. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He left the Father. The Bible says he He was the only begotten son of the Father. So there is no business like, no, I am the only son in our family, and therefore I can't leave. Leave.
Amen.
If you want marriage, leave.
Amen.
If you don't want marriage, then go marry your mother. But all those who have decided, I'm getting married, God has called us to do one thing. I want you to demonstrate the word to the world the way Christ loves the church. Christ, the church. Christ, the church. Christ, the church.
Amen.
And then he said, you submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Because of the love that Christ has for the church, he submitted to the will of the Father. And because the church saw the love of Christ, it submitted to the will of the Father. So even any woman who says, I'm not ready to submit, then you're not fit for marriage. According to what the word of God says. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can actually see there's no room for mistrust. There's no room for suspicion. There has to be forgiveness. So I was asking myself, I said, thank God, how many of us are really married? Says you're just a trying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you know what? The family life is where love is tested. If there is a person who has tested my love, is that one. I haven't mentioned anybody's name. I'm wondering why you're laughing. If there is a person whom I have tested, her love is that one. And my desire is that just as I am without one plea, but thou, my God, you died for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you feel this love in the family, I can guarantee you one thing. You will fail in the church. Your love will fail in the church. Your love will fail in the battlefield. Your love will fail in life. Your love will fail in ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No wonder churches are splitting. Churches are splitting. The division in the church, you can't believe it. There is too much division. When you check, it's just about our attitudes. There's too much division. And the same division, this lack of love, has made children to go and look for comfort and solace in the hands of strangers.
Amen.
And then we come and then we say, where did you learn that from? You have given a stranger called TV. Some of us, our children are closer to TV than us. And you show off to us, my child these days can sing all the songs that Dora sings. Whenever that Tom and Jerry thing is about to start, the child can start from the way Tom starts and respond to Jerry and then respond to Tom and respond to Jerry and respond to Tom and respond to Jerry and get the saucepan and hit it on the floor. And we're like, You know, my child can recite Tom and Jerry more than yours. If there is a group of failed parents, let's be honest, it's us. We didn't like all the stuff that our parents did to us. Then we came and decided we are going to raise zombies. Zombies that can even not even wash a plate. You know, my children can sleep until 10 o'clock, 11. And when they wake up at 11, they go and get yogurt from the fridge. When they get the yogurt from the fridge, they add it to cereal. They decide whether it's yogurt or milk. And they come and sit in the chair before the TV. And they eat. And they're watching Tom and Jerry. When they finish, they leave the plate there and go play outside. You're raising a zombie. The Bible says, teach a child whilst he or she is young. When he grows up, will not depart from the way. I don't want to show off, but I just want to say something. It wasn't in the preaching. So I got a call from my son. And says, Dad. So yes, son. Says, I would like to book an appointment. So I said, yeah. I get the appointment. Says, I said, yeah, what is it, son? He says, I want us to talk about manhood. What is it that makes a man a man? So we had session one, manhood. Says, this is really good. It's amazing. I have not asked you to do these things for a long time. I said, hey, somewhere a light bulb has come. And you have decided now you want to ask. I'm not the best father in the world, but I don't know how many of us, our children can come and say, I want to talk about womanhood. You say, go to your auntie, go to your auntie. And the auntie doesn't even know Christ. The uncle doesn't even know Christ. All of you that the small thing has happened in your family, immediately go to the family to go and report. You are just exposing your spouse's nakedness to the general public because of no love. Hallelujah. So Jesus one day said, I'll just say it quickly. He says, I wish you were by the cord or not. I really wish. Because right now, you're giving me lukewarm. A lot of us that give lukewarm service to the Lord is because we have lukewarm relationships at home. That's the reason. So Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, and he says, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and I become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The Bible says, those of us who are lukewarm, the Bible says five things about us. It says, you are the example of miserableness, misery, you. Poverty, you. Blindness, you. Nakedness, you. Wretchedness, you. The reason is because you are lukewarm. you want to do things of God and you also want to do things of the world. You want to do things of God and you also want to do things of the world. Choose where you stand.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Since as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand on the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the church of Ephesus, he says, you have done well, but I have one thing against you. You have lost your first love. The question is, what is driving your passions in life? Because we can be in church like this, and me as your pastor, whilst I'm here, I can just be using you. Because there's no love. And you also can be using me. Because there's no love. A husband can be using the wife because there's no love. And the wife can be using the husband because of there's no love. And I want, as we go towards the end, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then we'll do one thing. I thought we were going to pray, but I'm wondering now where time is gone. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 13, Paul writes, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Why? Because God is love. God is love. So God, the Bible says, love is everything because God is love. The greatest of them all, when you compare faith, when you compare hope, when you compare love, the Bible says the greatest of them all is love. And therefore we need to hold on to the best. Those of you, today I'm on husbands, small. Those of you who have never bought your wife a gift since you got married, today go and buy one. You say, I want to demonstrate my love. We are not including birthdays, as many as telling me. Armenia says, Pastor, exclude birthdays, exclude anniversary, exclude Valentine, exclude Mother's Day, exclude Kamazu Day, exclude John Chilembwe Day, exclude all the other days. This one has to be a day. Whatever, you just say, I thought of buying you some grapes. Because we are of God. And the Bible says, let brotherly love continue.
Amen.
It is time to understand once again the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'll read verse 18 to 19. And then I'll read the final scripture. And I'll close with a word of prayer. In verse 18, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, so you can actually be rooted and grounded in love. He says it's only when you are rooted and grounded in love, verse 18 says, then you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And finally, in Isaiah chapter 11, we need to understand God's love. We need to understand God's love. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. This is what Jesus says. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's a prophecy concerning Jesus from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the winged child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And it's amazing what you see from verse 6 to verse 9. And it's more or less like God is calling us. Can you in this year, as my church, be like this scenario? Hallelujah. That a young, a child can put a hand in the viper's den. All of us that have been vipers, this time around, I think we just need to say, Lord, if I be a viper, let me be a viper by Isaiah chapter 9, chapter 11. Says, a child shall walk by a lion. Some of us, our children are so afraid of us. Your children can't even tease you. So who are they going to tease? Your children need to laugh at your English.
Yes.
Say, nanny. Don't say lie. Say lie. And then you say, but it's me who pays school.
Yes.
Let love be restored in our families. And I want to tell you the truth. The moment love is restored in our families, love will flow in this church.
Amen.
And the Bible says, I want you to be an example to the believers in love. Let your love for one another be evident to all. Amen. And this year, church, we just need to love one another.
Amen.
We have no choice. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that this year, Lord, you will help us to discard selfishness, to discard greed, and be motivated by love instead of what am I going to gain. Lord, we pray that you spare us from the obsession and desire of conquest, and even the will to want to destroy everybody. And we pray that you can give us a new nature of an inner being of a leopard accommodating a child. Lord, we know as a church, we cannot have all the same characteristics and personalities. But we pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, whilst we maintain our individual characteristics, but yet because of love, we shall flow together instead of destroying one another. We pray, Lord, that the people who are impossible to change shall receive our love, which will lead to the circumcision of the heart. We pray in Jesus' name that for love's sake, we shall learn to forbear with one another, to tolerate one another in love. We may disagree, Lord, but that should not cause any one of us to storm out of the church or to storm out of each other's lives. We pray for couples, O God, that yes, they may have different temperaments, but they'll still be able to enjoy their marriages. They'll still be able to understand that different of opinions doesn't mean separation or divorce. Criticism of one another doesn't mean separation or divorce. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that there be love in our homes. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you empower us as the body of Christ financially and materially, O God, that we can be able to demonstrate tangibly to the world the love of God. Help us, O Father, to have love for the lost, that the light of Christ, that the experience of the love of God can be experienced through us, and that as a result, they be won into the kingdom of God. Lord, we know that we should make us as KICC to have evident progress in 2023 is the love for one another and the love for the lost souls. For you came to die for them. We bless you. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.